Help all kids learn and grow with PBS Kids. Thank you for supporting your PBS station.
Butterfly in the sky, I can go twice as high. Take a look, it's in a book, a reading rainbow. I can go anywhere. Friends to know and ways to grow, a reading rainbow. I can be anything. Take a look, it's in.
Hi, it's soccer practice for the Queen Eagles. They're getting ready for a big game coming up later on this afternoon.
Here you go.
Pretty spiffy uniforms, huh? Uniforms are a very important part of team play. During the game, it helps each player identify their teammates on the field, and it also helps each player feel a part of the team. But even though everyone wears the same uniform, each girl still has her own unique approach to the game and a playing style that reflects her own individual personality. Here's a story about a girl who wore a uniform, but she also liked to stand out in a crowd. And along the way, she found some very interesting ways to express her individuality. It's called Unique Monique.
Unique Monique, written by Maria Rusaki, illustrated by Polina Papanikolaou, read by Eliza Dushku. At Monique's school, all the children had to wear uniforms. They were brown and blue, and Monique thought they were the ugliest colors and the ugliest clothes she had ever seen. Every day, she would tell her mother, "I don't want to wear my uniform." Monique wanted to be different. One day after school, Monique found an old trunk in the attic. The first thing she saw when she opened it was a huge red hat. She tried it on, then looked at herself in the mirror. "I'm wearing this to school tomorrow." The next morning, Monique didn't complain about her uniform at all. And when she got to school, everyone noticed her right away.
"Look what Monique is wearing.
It looks like a giant tomato." Monique was thrilled. She walked to class with her head held high so everyone could see her hat.
"Monique, what is that thing on your head?"
asked her teacher when she saw her. "It's a red hat. Isn't it beautiful?"
"Wow." "Monique, please take it off. Hats are not allowed in school."
So Monique removed her beautiful hat. She did get to wear it during recess, though, and on the way home. The next day, everyone at school was wearing a hat. Some were green, some were yellow, some were small, and others were enormous. The teachers were very upset.
"Everyone take off your hats," demanded the principal. "Hats are not allowed in school."
The only one who wasn't upset was Monique. She had found other things in her mother's old trunk.
"Look at those glasses," said Katerina the next morning. "They're wild."
"Those are the coolest glasses I've ever seen."
Monique walked slowly to her classroom wearing the fanciest, shiniest, most beautiful glasses in the world. Then her teacher saw them.
Monique, you must remove those glasses immediately.
Monique took off her glasses, but the next day, everyone was wearing glasses.
Glasses may not be worn by children who don't need them.
At home, Monique searched her mother's trunk again. She pulled out old dresses, scarves, and colorful jackets. Then, all of a sudden, she felt something down at the bottom of the trunk. She was thrilled. The perfect thing to wear to school tomorrow. The next morning, everyone was waiting for Monique to arrive.
Look what Monique is wearing today!
The other girls loved it. And the next day, all the girls had decorated barrettes and headbands in their hair. Some wore braids, some pulled their hair to the right, some pulled their hair to left, some to the back, some to the front, and some had pulled it into their eyes. But their teachers decided the girls should all wear their hair neatly. Monique wouldn't give up. She kept trying to find ways to be different. She started carrying a big, fancy bag to school. Then she painted her fingernails. She even wore fancy socks. But all of them were banned by the school. Then one day, Monique went to school looking ordinary. Her teacher was impressed. "Well done, Monique. It's wonderful to see you dressed properly, without breaking any school rules. Since you look so nice, why don't you come to the front and tell us about the story we read for homework?" Monique walked slowly to the front of the class. Everyone stared. Monique looked very, very different. She had the brightest and most colorful braces anyone had ever seen. She smiled her biggest smile. Wow! At last, she was unique. Unique Monique. Yay!
Even though Monique had lots of things in common with the other kids, she just had to show the world that she was unique. And you know, each one of us is a one of a kind. And that's true even if you look exactly like someone else. Identical twins are like a team wearing the same uniform. Similar face, eyes, and hair. Just like a player on a team, each person is unique with different personalities.
We're identical twins from Twinsburg.
This is a city called Twinsburg, Ohio.
I'm from Twinsburg, Ohio.
It is the only city named after twins, and today is a Twins Day Festival. Twins from around the world come together to celebrate the uniqueness of being alike.
My name is Zina Abojaudi, and I am Maya Abojaudi from Ghana, West Africa.
My name is Sarah, and my name is Leah.
I'm Geraldine, she's Darcy.
She's Sunita, and I'm Vanita, and we come from Tamil Nadu, India.
We're from Rome, Georgia.
Hello. Hello. We're from Belgium.
New Hampshire.
I'm Gary Grimm.
And I'm Larry. And we're from Michigan.
From Cleveland, Ohio.
We're from Youngstown, Ohio.
We've been coming for 16 years.
All the twin contests that are in Bleacher B are in the far left corner.
We have a twins contest, which consists of the most alike, the least alike, the oldest, the youngest.
We're here to win, baby. That's all we came here to do is win. We're gold medal champions.
We give the winners the medals.
Silver medal, second place for Ashley and Brooke Eisenman, Parma, Ohio. Congratulations.
When you have so many twins that look alike, you have to start picking out the small things to try to start weeding the couples out, because it is so difficult. They are so cute.
You know, so it gets down to, okay, which one's got a mole on his cheek and which one doesn't, or, you know, it's which one's hair is slightly different than another, eyes can be different, height might be a quarter of an inch different. It's not scientific, but, you know, you try to make it as fair as you can.
And it's just really tough, and you feel bad for those who don't win.
Were any of these
would they be out on the height thing? Which one's 1298?
Yeah,
wow, look at all this. Oh my goodness, you're so colorful. You're going to have gold medals to take with you. Jacqueline and Anastasia picked from Boardman, Ohio.
It was exciting when I won. I thought that I wasn't going to win, and I won first place, and I was, like, so happy.
Most people are born into an I world, and we were born into a we world. So we were born with a soulmate, a best friend, someone that unconditionally understands us, looks like you, sounds like you, not even only looks like you. Sometimes that doesn't happen, but you still have a special bond. We call it Twinergy, the energy created by twins.
First place for Larry and Gary the Grimms from Canton and Plymouth, Michigan.
We wouldn't go home and tell everybody we finally won a contest one time in our life. Yeah. My mother will be proud.
Because twins look so much alike.
She'll be coming round the mountain when she comes. She'll be
sound alike.
The mountain when she
and
comes.
Often like the same things. They sometimes feel
she'll
like they're the same person.
She'll be coming round the mountain when she comes.
And we are like one entity. Not two people. One for
one.
One divided in two.
Occasionally, we may be planning to go somewhere, and I'll say, well, let me take this particular shirt, and I'll come out of the house, and he's got the same shirt on, and we haven't talked about it at all.
But when you go a little deeper, you'll find that everything isn't exactly the same.
Got first place for this contest, least alike boys, 4 through 7 years old.
Twins have some differences, and they're not that shy about pointing them out.
Even though we look alike, our insides are totally different.
Then I have this like birthmark right here, so you can tell us apart.
I like pink and she likes blue.
She's more social than I am. I have a birthmark on the side.
That side.
Yeah.
She's more of the outgoing and talkative. I'm the more laid back, mature one.
I like to do sports. And I like to read.
My favorite food is spaghetti. My favorite food is salad.
We obviously have very similar tastes in women as we married twin sisters, but we still are quite different if people do get to know us.
I am a lot easier going, I will think. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll get another. My wife is the same.
He's the starter, and Jen and I have to come up and finish.
My wife and I have twin boys who are 3, and we dress them alike every day. We're very happy we don't have twins.
Play ball!
For us, coming to a festival like Twinsburg, it's a way for us to celebrate our twinness and multiples, where we have a few thousand people that are just like us. And if someone said, what do you mean just like you? What's the difference between you being a twin? I don't think I look like that, and she doesn't think she looks like me, but we know we do. And when we see all these twins, we think it's funny, like the outside person thinks it's funny, because we're like, we don't look like that. We say we're two individuals that make one heck of a whole together.
It's just amazing that on the outside, twins look alike, but beneath the surface, they can be so completely different. And the same holds true for all of us. What people see on the outside is how we look, not who we are. The way to let people know the real you is to express who you are inside.
This row, go on stage and make a circle on that side.
A lot of kids are afraid to say how they feel. Very often they're afraid of either being mocked by their friends for the thing that makes them different or being too separated from them. I'm Brandon Fernandez. I'm 20 years old from Brooklyn, New York. I run a program called Expressions, which is a small nonprofit organization. We've tried to just respond to what the kids need. And it's not always what they say they need, but what we find that they need in other manners.
Start making a circle around that white piece of paper.
Okay.
We do artwork with students that's all about self-expression.
Squeeze in. Okay. Henry's going to begin today's activities, so please pay attention to him, okay?
My name is Henry, and I like to play baseball.
Our hope is to lead the kids into a new a perspective on life, a new way of taking things a little easier.
Proud. I do something very great.
Now, we've discussed how a body feels, right? What's some emotions that we identified last week?
Joyful.
Excited.
Natalie?
Upset.
And Nicole said she gets hyper.
I feel like screaming.
Like screaming?
The
most important thing that I find helped me learn was the time that when I was younger and I didn't talk. I sat back and observed a lot. And what I teach now is all the stuff that I have observed growing up.
Write it.
You gotta write it.
From when he was very young, Brandon was very shy.
Growing up, I was very afraid of expressing myself because of my stutter. When somebody stutters, it means that they get stuck on a certain sound. It's typically a hard sound, like the D's, and sometimes the vowels that are very hard to just, you keep saying them, and your throat just keeps repeating that sound until you pass through it. I was typically afraid to speak because when I did get stuck, it would take me a long time to get off of it. In certain instances, I'd be teased, so it became a point where I didn't even want to speak anymore.
Brandon's family was important in helping him out of his personal dilemma.
My family has always been very understanding and close to me. A lot of them have taught me other ways to bond with them, that we didn't always have to talk.
You know, as a mom, you feel bad because you feel like your child's not perfect. So it kind of made me feel sad for him and kind of anxious because now I was afraid when he had to speak in public or speak to somebody.
Since he had trouble speaking, his mom encouraged him to write.
Poetry was what helped me the most, especially like when my grandmother had passed away and I couldn't speak to people about it. My poetry became how I got all my feelings out to people. Abuela, at times like this, when the present is not but what we enjoy, we must look back and remember. Remember our triumphs, our happy days. Always remember to never be put down by the present, but remember the past and look forward to the future. I love you and always will. Through my art, I was able to overcome a lot of my stutter. I still have it somewhat today, but it's not nearly as severe as once was.
Yeah, it's going good.
Brandon's poetry helped him to open up, gain confidence, and make new friends.
I've changed tremendously. I've become known as the social director of many places. I'm usually the first one to the dance floor, the first one to introduce myself to everybody.
Quick strike across the paper. Perfect.
Growing up, my family has always been very understanding. Very often they were the ones who protected or took care of me, just because I wasn't really very capable in a lot of social settings. Now, it's kind of reversed a lot of roles where I've become that person for other people.
I feel happy because Brandon helps us solve problems and he helps us do better in school. So I like to be here.
Kids, they don't realize what they can do just because they've never had the opportunity to do it in such a free form. They surprise themselves by how beautiful the piece is. And it is because they weren't looking at it as they did it. They were just doing it. That's the most important part.
Using the same creative tools that helped him, Brandon has watched his students grow to move past their fears and express who they are inside.
I like that. I'll meet up with you. You go. Now, before you put it in, I want you to break it up. It's gonna be all wet and juicy, that's all okay.
Brandon teaches that self-expression reveals who we are to ourselves and to others.
He took my pencil, and I wanted to get it back, but he got angry.
I'm drawing something I just thought of. Something that I like right now that's making me happy. I call it me.
I love what I do with the kids. And to know that I'm that I'm being like a big brother to a lot of them is very important to me. And it makes me feel really good.
So you two are gonna begin your dispute.
One of the things I love most about books is that there are no two that are just alike. So when you finish one great book, you can always be sure that there are more to look forward to. So here are three that are as unique as Monique. But you don't have to take my word for it.
I'm Danielle, and I read Daffodil. It's about a girl who's one of three triplets. Their mother made them dresses. Violet got violet, Rose got red, and Daffodil got yellow. But Daffodil didn't like the color of her dress. She just thought yellow was ucky because she had to wear it over and over again. I think Daffodil just wanted to be unique. I like wearing different kinds of dresses, and I felt bad because I would get tired of wearing it. Daffodil found out that her other sisters didn't like their dresses either. She refused to wear her yellow dress, and she screamed, "Not now, not ever again." That was really surprising. In the end, Daffodil was very happy. You'd be surprised to read how it all worked out. If you want to find out, you have to read Daffodil.
I'm Michael, and this is my book review. It's called I'm Gonna Like Me. This book is about a boy and a girl. They tell each other how much they like themselves. The whole book is one big conversation. Let me read some of this to you. I'm gonna like me when I'm sharing my lunch, 'cause just like bananas, friends come in a bunch. I'm gonna like me when I don't run so fast, then they pick teams and I'm chosen last. I'm gonna like me when I eat something new, even if grandma makes octopus stew. I'm gonna like me, I already do. But enough about me, how about you? I like me, do you like you? I love this book and I think all you kids out there should read it.
My name is Ondine and the book I'm holding in my hands is called The Name Jar. It's about Yoon Hae, the girl who moves to America from Korea. When she's in America, kids make fun of her Korean name. She reacted by being really embarrassed and not talking to anyone and being really shy. Then she gets the idea to have a name jar. The name jar contains American names that the kids made up for her. Each kid adds different names to the jar until it's full. The idea is for her to pick out of the jar a new American name. When the time comes to pick out the name, the jar is missing. But one day, her friend named Joey takes the name jar and goes to her house. And after school, Yoon Hae comes home, she finds him with the jar. Tells her he likes her Korean name, she doesn't want her to change it, so she decides not to. And that's a happy ending. If you're six or over, I would really recommend this book, The Name Jar.
When I woke up this morning, and much to my surprise, I was seeing two of everything. I couldn't believe my eyes. I thought I might be dreaming, so I did a double take. I saw twins as far as my eyes could see. Everyone had a look-alike, everyone was two of a kind. From the oldest gent down to the little tyke, I thought I was losing my mind. So I called my dear mama, she said, "Son, I know the state you're in. You're not in any trouble. You're just seeing twins. You got a case. Double vision. Two by two. Sometimes things that look the same are not as they appear. No, they're not as they appear.
You don't have to be a teammate or a twin to know how wonderful it feels to be a part of a group. Whether it's your family, a classroom, or a club, it's nice to fit in, to work and play together. And you can be a part of lots of groups and still have your own individual style. And it's important to remember that you don't have to try. It's simply a matter of letting the world see those unique qualities that already exist inside of you. I'll see you next time. Hey, Karina!
Today's Reading Rainbow books are Unique Monique by Maria Rusaki, illustrated by Polina Papanikolaou, published by Kane Miller Book Publishers. Daffodil by Emily Jenkins, illustrated by Tomek Bugaki, published by Farrar, Straus & Giroux, LLC. I'm Gonna Like Me, Letting Off a Little Self-Esteem by Jamie Lee Curtis, illustrated by Laura Cornell, published by Joanna Kotler Books, an imprint of HarperCollins Publishers. The Name Jar, written and illustrated by Yang Suk Choi, published by Alfred A. Knopf.
Hi, I'm LeVar Burton. In uncertain times, there's no more effective way to make your kids feel good and safe than to spend time with them. We at Reading Rainbow suggest sharing a book with your family. Read for fun, read for family, read for our future.